Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Kolesar, charging out. Kolesar, the righty, shoots and scores! Kolesar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, hanging out inside the Dollar Loan Center in Henderson. Chris Chapman is back inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
All right, we'll get into the game last night and the fallout, the evaluation, what we liked, what we didn't like, what we thought could be better, what we are encouraged about in that contest against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But just to paint you the picture, at the Dollar Loan Center, the Vegas Nighthawks are going to kick off their season, Indoor Football League season, third campaign, later on this week on the road. Their home opener is going to a couple of weeks' time here at the Dollar Loan Center, but the turf is down, and Coach Mike Davis, he's a massive hockey fan, huge hockey fan, is going to run through an open practice in around 5:30, and then do a chalk talk with Brian McCormick at just after 6 o'clock. But Mike's going to join us in about 8 minutes' time. He's going to come up, talk a little hockey, talk a little football, the future, what's ahead for the Vegas Nighthawks, and probably get into some coaching philosophies. He's chatted with Bruce Cassidy a little bit. They've bounced around things with each other coming from different sports. So it'll be a wide range, not just football, a little bit of hockey, and a little bit of philosophical approaches with Coach Mike Davis in a little bit. But we do have some time right off the bat, which I think does necessitate a deeper dive in what happened with the loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning last night, a 5-3 decision, which Vegas scored very early and then was right in it in a 3-3 game until an unfortunate play went against them in the third period and then the empty netter.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game on a number of different fronts for the Golden Knights, because I think that you can look at the majority of the game, you can look at a lot of the pockets and like what the Golden Knights did in many aspects. However, results are what matter most right now. There's only 14 games left. You're in that second wild card spot. You do control your own destiny, but you want to see the results start to follow. And that's really the tough spot about last night.
There's a whole bunch to like. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch to like. And you were happy with the resolve. You were happy with the ability to spread things out with your lineup. You were happy offensively with some chances. You were really pleased with the defensive effort and being able to hold Tampa Bay in check. What you didn't like was the power play didn't give you an opportunity to rival what was a shorthanded goal against, and you expect a couple more saves in those situations. And you were, to be frank, it only happens a couple of times a year, but you were undone by one position, and that's the reality of it. And if you get a couple of saves in that situation in the third period, you're in a much better standing going towards the tail end to be able to get something out of that game. And I think trying to look at it in the sunny side up, which I generally do, I think it's better than the goaltender keeping you in it until the final seconds and being badly outplayed. Mm-hmm. There's more encouragement there with the total team game that the goaltending will find its stride and be able to respond to the challenges that are on right now. But the finality of it is you didn't get anything out of it. And that's both games against Tampa Bay this year, where you were in a position to get something out of those games. And a late goal, remember the fluky play where Yuri Patera had his pad flip over and he wasn't able to get across, and the puck went in from a weird angle in Tampa Bay. And last night, you're right in it, a tie game and a fluky play on an icing that Tampa Bay was able to beat out, and you were behind and you were able to equalize it. Think about what if you come back and you get a point out of each game. Well, that gives you a 5-point cushion on a playoff spot right now, and you're feeling a whole lot better. If you come back and you win both of these games, you're really in a good situation. You're in a top three spot in the Pacific Division, and there's been too many of those where they've been in games and they haven't been able to get points out of some of those games that has put them in the position that they're in right now. There's encouraging parts. And I look at the New Jersey game, and I look at the Tampa Bay game. Mm-hmm. Defensively and rolling of the lines and the pairings on defense, I really like what I've seen. But goaltending is a big part of this game and this sport. And if you don't have it, it can undo a lot of that. And that's what happened last night. I'm confident. I've seen Aiden Hill bounce back from some of these challenges first year in training camp. He had the tough game. Sean Burke put him right back in, and he was great. Last year, he had a speed wobble middle of the season coming out of the Christmas break, and he was great and stepped up when counted on. You need to be able to do that. Is there a guarantee? No, but he needs to be able to follow suit with that to replicate and be able to keep pace with what we've seen in the growth of the team game lately.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you look at Aiden and just overall, it's hard to argue that he's not in a little bit of a funk right now, just for his game personally, with where we know he can be at the top of his game. Now, that being said, he's got to find a way to work through it. He's got to find a way to work out of it. But at the same time, you have to be able to pull points out of these games as well. And I think that's the balance right now for Bruce Cassidy, Sean Burke, and the goaltending department as a whole, is how do you continue to build and grow the game of both Logan Thompson and Aiden Hill while also getting points, understanding that these guys have to kind of work themselves into a spot where they're happy with and trust their games. That's going to be the tough aspect of it. But more often than not, when you look at the Golden Knights over the last two games, you should be encouraged by a lot of what you see from every other position, not just goaltending, but from, you mentioned it, defense. The forecheck last night I thought was phenomenal, helped set up that goal for Brett Howden. I think that's more and more what we're starting to see from the Golden Knights, and that's their identity.
Goaltending, are you, when you talk about that, are you talking about the rotation, or are you talking about just working your way through it from an individual perspective, being Aiden Hill?
I guess I'm talking about both, because you have to have some type of rotation that you can trust in right now to get you points, but you also need Aiden Hill to be at his best. You need him to be able to work through it. Now, what does that look like from a rotation standpoint? How many starts does he need to start to get himself into a spot where he's feeling confident? I don't know, but you also need to get results here in these games. And I think that's going to be the balance of how do you strike that balance, knowing you have Logan Thompson available, knowing that you have a rotation that you can trust in, while also trying to get Aiden Hill back to the top of his game.
This might sound strange, but I still consider Aiden Hill the number one goaltender.
Given
what we've seen, there's been some encouragement that Logan Thompson gets a handful of starts. We're not there. In my mind, we're not there yet. But where Logan Thompson comes into play in a major factor is similar to what Jonathan Quick did a year ago.
Okay.
You go in and you win some games. You don't have to have all the best analytics, and Quickie didn't, but he was able to go in, and he won games.
Sure.
And he was able to keep momentum going. That's Logan Thompson's job right now. So we know already that Logan's going to start tomorrow. Bruce Cassidy said that was part of the plan going forward. He wasn't willing to go into the weekend or next week's road trip, but he said Logan's going to start tomorrow. It was predetermined. Nothing to do with last night. Mm-hmm. Logan Thompson can buy some time for Aiden Hill to be able to find his game, and that's really important. Very similar to what Quick did a year ago. Quick went in because of injury, had to play, but he bought some time for everybody else to get healthier, and that ended up being LB playing and starting the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think it's still Aiden Hill is the number one goaltender for this team, regardless of recent performance. but Logan Thompson can take so much pressure off Aiden and allow Aiden to be able to maybe have a little bit more time to work on his game. Maybe it's one less start than they planned and be able to really dive into it. He was working on his game today with Sean Burke. Both of them were out there addressing certain save selections and situations, and he was great. I should mention that. He was fantastic during the drills and the situations. But I think Logan can help this team in such a massive way, even though I still think that he's the backup.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't view Aiden Hill as anything but the number one still. I think when you have been able to deliver in the playoffs the way that Aiden Hill did, when you get back there, you're kind of that guy. Now, I do think that your point's well taken in that if you've got Logan Thompson available, you get those starts in. You need Logan to go in there and deliver for you, and he's done that in the past. I see no reason to believe that he can't do it again.
And then you put some of those situations of a save here, save there,
yeah,
together,
yeah,
with the team game. It's a much different situation. Coaches have challenges during these moments, and I don't envy them at all, which is my way of saying I don't want to be a coach. It has nothing to do with talent. I just choose not to be a coach. Here's Mike Davis, coach of the Vegas Nighthawks. You believe any of that?
No.
No?
Not a lick.
No. What would you do? What would your assignment be for me if I was on your coaching staff?
You'd be a great analytics person.
Really?
Yeah, I do believe so. Like, you like to – for me, obviously, just knowing a little bit about you, you'd be a guy who can say, hey, okay, I see this third down, they're in this type of coverage, or they run this on offense. You would be an analytics person.
I think you're right on the money. I take that as a compliment. I'm when I sounded surprised there, I was impressed that you see that side of me. Mike Davis, his team's getting ready to launch the season. Nighthawks going through an open practice later on this afternoon here at the Dollar Loan Center. You're opening this weekend, then you got your home opener in a couple of weeks. Walk me through your group this year and the turnover that we've seen and who's back.
So far, it's been a great group.
Yeah.
You know, everybody can fool you for a week or two. Literally, you know, it's no. Literally.
Are you so you're in training camp? Are you looking for the guys that I don't want to use the word pretenders, but
for sure though, that's a great way to word it. Absolutely, because you get a lot of guys who say the right things on the phone, you know, and then once they get here, they get caught up in Vegas. Oh yeah, I'm good. You know, I've been there. We've done that. You know, we can see right through that. You know, guys who, I was hanging out. I don't care if you're hanging out. Just don't let it affect you the next day or the next game or whatever. And guys are here for a reason, and normally they can't balance the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of see right through that early on.
Top three most important positions in the indoor game.
Quarterback.
Okay.
D-line. Kicker.
Okay, where are you in personnel? You got a quarterback back?
We have three quarterbacks that all started at least five games last year. For one, Joe Mancuso for us,
yeah.
Jorge Reyna for Arizona, who we're going to play, and then probably the most experienced is Jerome Johnson from Green Bay, started 10 games.
Is it an open competition still?
It's crazy. We said, okay, we want to kind of have it sought out by Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. And just, I don't know the exact numbers, but for example, it's like one is like 33 of 39 with five touchdowns and one interception. One is like 35 of 38 with two touchdowns and one interception. One is like 30 of 35 with six touchdowns and two interceptions. It's like, it's been fun to watch, to be honest with you. But, you know, I don't envy Coach Chin and the offensive guys. I just say, hey, bring it to me. Obviously, I have input on it, but bring it to me how, you know, as it plays out, and we'll talk about it daily, and you know, we need to make a decision.
D-line?
You know, one of two things is going to happen. Either we're really good up front on the D-line or we're really good up front on the O-line. Because we haven't really gotten much pressure during camp. And then, you know, they just don't care we're up here, huh?
No.
This is your building, and for some reason we've got a dance party going on down there. Look, you just mentioned that, and it disappeared just like that.
You know, that psychic, you know, the powers. No, so we haven't. It'll be good to see an opponent, to see where we at.
And you don't get any preseason games, right? No. And you don't get any, like, inter-squad, like, scrimmages?
We did an inter-squad scrimmage, and both groups excelled. Like, we had some guys get pressure, we had some guys not get pressure, and we had some O-line that was great. And so I hate saying it. It's been kind of cliche, but it's like, I really don't know. I need a game to get a measuring stick. Do we need to find a couple upgrades, or are we good where we're at? So this weekend will be a good test for us, obviously, with the powerhouse like Arizona. It's, and they have a game under their belt. So we get film on them. They don't get film on us. Mm. Who knows?
And a kicker.
So far, our kicker's been absolutely amazing. Can do whatever we need to do with the football.
Does every coach, when you talk about a kicker, go, so far? Like, you never really know with kickers.
You know, I mean, obviously, you put him in here, and you put him in a situation where he kicks without pressure. He makes everything. Has kicked with pressure, has made everything. And he's a rookie to an indoor game. Like, you know, this kid from Montana that he's all Montana's all-time leading scorer, Kevin Macias. I signed him early on in the process, found him right out of college, and I was like, hey, you're my guy. I wanted to bring in a guy to compete with him, but I never found a guy that I thought, like, okay, these two guys are on the same level. So I said, you know, I'm going to roll the dice, no pun intended, being in Vegas. And he's worked out so far. We'll see come Sunday.
Coach Mike Davis with us. Vegas Nighthawks ready to start their season this weekend, home opener in a couple weeks.
So kickers are fascinating to me because I just think from a mindset perspective, you've got to be so dialed in and you've got to be able to just let things go. From your experience, what type of athlete excels in that spot?
Kickers are their own breed. They are.
Are they goalies?
Like goalies.
Is that? Seriously. Like I would.
Independent contractors. That's what I call goalies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like our Kevin comes out and he kicks pre-practice before everybody gets out here. Then he kicks during warm-ups. Then we do some special teams. And then he goes off, and he just sits over there. Like today, he was like, hey, I'll film practice, and he flew the drone and filmed.
Seriously?
Practice. Yeah.
He was doing the drone?
Yeah. So it's like, okay. And I'm, you know, I don't know. They're just – some of them are great. Some of them are quirky. Some of them – like he gets along great with the group in the locker room, and so that's kind of different because most of the time they stay by themselves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's so far –
I find they're usually off getting Slurpees.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I had some guys in Canada and in college that they just I mean, I've had them order pizza before. Like, it's literally, hey, ordering pizza to the back house. I'm like, sure. I mean, what do you do? They're unique.
The third year here at the Dollar Loan Center. Expectations change year to year, and if so, how much?
You always want to compete for a championship. Right. Mm-hmm. Year one and year two.
But you also got to be realistic.
For sure. Yeah. And that's where I was headed. Year one, year two is really not realistic. Usually it takes 3 years to kind of find your groove and find your guys. I relate it. I use this all the time. I say, you know, you ever been into a neighborhood or moved into a neighborhood and you don't see a cat around, but you put milk out and eventually the cats are on your front porch or back porch or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what you did here, right? You treat the visiting teams well. You treat your home guys well, and word kind of spreads. And then guys start, hey, coach, we'd love to come to Vegas. And then you kind of get, okay, well, let me see what you look like. Let me see. You know, then you don't get the pick of the litter, so to speak, but you get to feel out who you want. And that's kind of what's happened this year. Like with Antonio Wimbush, you know, he's probably one of the best, if not the best running back in the league. Probably shouldn't be in this league. Played in Iowa. I'd never seen him up close in person until we played him last year, and he's like, I was like, that's the guy that I would want on this football team. And you know, Malik Harris is a D lineman who played in Mass. Actually, I tried to recruit him in Canada. So we have him. You know, obviously the guys we have, CJ Windham was up as a receiver that added to our great receiving core. He was up for Rookie of the Year last year in Quad City. Played in Middle Tennessee State. He was a guy that, okay, after our conversation, he's a guy that you feel good about. And they've all excelled so far. So far, so good. But the character's been phenomenal.
Better than the first two?
It's not even close.
Really?
Like, the camaraderie. The first 2 years, guys kind of came and they scattered. This year, guys are hanging out together. And it's early, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I can't – you know, I got to preface it with that. But, you know, like, they hung out in the locker room today talking about, I don't know, NCAA basketball for – until, like, 1:30. We're done at 11:30. You know, in the cold tubs talking about whatever. So, it's been good so far. Obviously, we're gonna have some adversity at some point, whether that's this weekend or, you know, sooner or later in the season. So we'll see how they kind of pull together then. But they you never see one by themselves. I haven't seen it yet.
Like, that's awesome.
So that's been great. Like, you see – they're in groups of four or five. And I joke with them. I'm like, oh, that's all you can fit in the car or whatever. But, yeah. You know. But literally, they're always in a group or a pack together, and it's been good.
I saw a few of them last night at the hockey game. You might only be able to get three of those guys in the car.
Yeah, we have some large humans, yeah. For sure. You know, I mean, Corey Woodruff's like 6'5", 330. Moses is like 6'2", 350. You know, Kevin, too, just the smallest. He's like 6'1", 312. And then you have, like, Eric Douglas, who played at South Carolina, who's, you know, 6'4", 330. And then Anthony Wiggum, 6'6", like, 320. I mean, they're not small by any means.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been good.
So, for people that are listening right now that maybe have not been out to a Nighthawks game, just elevator pitch here, right? Like, this is football, but it's very, very different. Super up pace, up tempo. Just a calling card for this league.
Yeah, it's an intimate football party. Like, you can reach out. Like, you know, guys go to the Raiders games or guys that go to UNLV games, and you're so far from the action. Well, here, literally, it's playing a hockey rink. So you can reach out and touch somebody, and you get to see really how big guys are. I think that's what surprises a lot of people. Like, they're, like, massive when you're sitting down there. And if you haven't been, it's fun family entertainment. Obviously, players, you know, we talk to the people in the stands. You come down after the game. You get access that you don't have in hockey, because that's just what they have to do, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they're not some of these guys are going to go off and make great money, and it's just a platform for them. So, and you'll see some of them, I'm not going to say on Sundays, because there's only a couple guys here there's been a couple that have played on Sundays, but – you know, it's hard to get back there. But these are guys that you would see in the CFL or the UFL. And, you know, hopefully they stay here with us for 20 weeks and for 20 games or whatever, 19 games, and then they can take off.
It's so fast and it's so fun, and it never really stops. My welcome to the indoor football league moment was doing a game, and the fans took a ball away from the other team in the end zone. And I don't know how often that happens, but I was looking at that, and your whole team went over and high-fived the fan because there was such interaction. It was and it was legal.
For sure.
It was just – that's the way it worked.
Yeah, as long as you don't come into the field of play.
No, it was – yeah, exactly. The receiver was diving into
for
the
sure.
fans.
For sure. And we – you know, that's a act that's taught. Like, you have to teach your home fans that if a visiting team goes into the stands, like, please knock the ball out of his hands.
Yeah.
Don't let him come back into the play with it, because they have to hold on to have possession. So the more we can help, the better.
You've had a chance to get to know Bruce Cassidy a little bit. What are those conversations like, coach to coach? Can you share it all?
Yeah, it was good. I sat down with him one time, and I text with him, good luck and stuff here and there, and back and forth. But it was more about, hey, you know, how do you see the game? How do I see the game? How do you prepare? Like, I don't know how they do it hockey wise, prepare, you know, three games in a week and stuff like that. You know, it takes us a week to prepare for football games, but more just, you know, hey, don't watch the puck, watch this. And it's a lot like, you know, basketball, and you know, he's loves to read books, you know, and I'm not a huge reader, let me rephrase that. I wasn't a huge reader. My wife's a huge reader, and I'm trying to get into it, but give me an audiobook. I got too much going on. if I have time to sit down and read a book, it's like, give me a cigar and a glass of scotch and let me relax.
No, I'll come and hang out with you. Hey, when he says don't watch the puck, what's he mean by that?
Just like, I didn't grow up in the hockey world, yeah. Right? So for me, I'm like watching the puck go back and forth and back and forth, and you just get lost because they're so good. And it's kind of like what I tell people. I told you, like, don't watch the football when you watch football games.
Yeah.
Like, pick a position and just watch it. And with hockey, you can have five guys out there so you can see everybody on ice at one time. And once you kind of get spread your eyes to vision and you start seeing them move, it's fascinating.
And for the record, Mike taught me that. And I see football so differently now.
Yeah.
It's so more engaging. Instead of just watching that ball, and then I see a flag, and I'm like, where's that hold? Now I can see where stuff's coming. And this is the man that won our Fantasy Football League championship this year. So the advice is not just a football coach, but he won the department Fantasy Football League. And your secret was?
Auto-draft.
He auto-drafted.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. I was traveling. I couldn't do anything. So once I got it, you know, I make some moves, but.
Auto-drafted.
Yeah.
And won.
Yeah. I'll throw one more your way. Best audio book you've read.
Tony Dungy. Any of the three.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Is that because you're a big fan of his or The Message?
The Message. Yeah. Like, he talks about, you know, engagement and how he, you know, just some experiences. And I've had some good ones, like him, the Bill Parcells book, Bill Belichick, John Wooden. Like, you know, I've had some good ones. But Tony Dungy, something about it, it resonates with you. It's like, okay, that makes complete sense.
Who's your favorite coach that you've watched? Who would Mike Davis like to be? Go higher. Not just from a success standpoint, but how they operate, how they put things together, how they handle the media, the total package.
Oh, man.
How they throw the headset. How many headsets do you go through a year?
None. We've never broken one.
Really?
Knock on one. But I'm not a thrower. I'm not one of those guys who's like, dang it, and throws it down. Man, if I said who it really was, it would get me in trouble.
Really? Why?
Not really. It's because John Gruden on a personal level is fascinating. Yeah. Right? Obviously, whatever.
Him
as a coach is and how he gets, like, he's kind of a no nonsense guy to his players. Yeah. Is, hey, this is what it is. It's black and white, there's no gray, and you know, you take him and then had some conversations with, like, Bill Parcells. Like, though, you know, being in, you know, with – I got to talk to him through one of my mentors, Coach Jones, who's in the Canada. And some of those things are just, like, how they talk.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's nice for them to test.
Yeah, that's testing.
That's the way it is. Testing.
Yeah.
Coach Davis has been in Canada before, so we've got that connection from the Canadian Football League. How fluid will your roster be first couple of weeks?
Lord willing, it's very fluid. You know, if we can stay healthy, I like our group. Okay. I genuinely do. There's not really anything. The question mark will be how good are our DBs, because we have some really good receivers. So, you know, I tell them, hey, if you can cover these guys, you can cover anybody.
Yeah.
So if our back end can hold up, we have a chance to be better than advertised. We'll be fluid, have a standard roster. If they struggle, then we'll have some turnover early on just to find the right pieces on the back end. But I like where we're at the Royals.
Anybody going both ways?
No, absolutely not. We have some guys that could if they needed to, but
yeah.
No, don't need to.
Awesome.
Talk about season. Sorry about that one. You know, it's funny that you said you haven't lost a headset, you haven't destroyed a headset, and you're very zen. Is that a different kind of perspective maybe when it comes to coaching? Just football. It's a violent sport. It's aggressive, right? Like, it's very different mindset, I think.
I'm very laid back.
Yeah.
Like, I can get active and loud if I need to be. But I found that your players take on the personality of your coaches. My offensive coordinator's like that. We try to say, hey, listen, guys, I don't need you riding a roller coaster. I need you to be even keel. And that's honestly how I try to be. Like, I'm probably one of the most laid-back people you'll ever meet. I love the pressure. Like, hey, you know, like, hey, you need to talk in front of people. Okay, cool. Let's do it off the cuff. Like, you know, I'm not – I love to prepare, and I love the process. But I don't get too high, too low. It's, you know, there's bigger things in life than getting stressed out. Like, you wake up, I have a beautiful family, you know, I have a fantastic job, I love what I do every day. I'm not one of those, we all know I'm those people that are miserable when they go to work. Like, I wake up before my alarm every day, and my feet hit the floor, and I'm off and running. Like, I'm a morning person, so when 4:15 to 4:30 hits, I'm ding, wide awake, I'm off and running.
You're crazy. 4:15.
Daily. Today, I think I woke up at 4:30, to be honest with you. I think I got out of bed at 4:30.
Slacker.
I don't know.
4:30.
We think that it's 7:30 on the East Coast.
I know.
So there's so many people that there's so much that I can get done. If I'm in here by 5:15 in the morning, I can get so much done.
What time do you go
done.
To bed then?
9:10.
Holy cow. Wow.
Like, if I get – during the season, if I get 5 hours sleep at night, I'm rolling.
Okay, if I come and work in the analytics department, can I sleep in more than 4:30?
Hey, listen, you don't have to be here at all. You can literally do everything from home.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part about it.
I like this even more. Hey, you got the open practice tonight, 5:30, and then Chalk Talk after. People can come down to the Lone Center and hang out with Coach Mike Davis. You'll be on that mic. That's being tested.
At least we know it works.
At least, totally. Hey, good luck. Can't wait to watch it. Year number three. It's awesome. And if you have not checked it out, come on over to the Dollar Loan Center. And if you have, I know you're going to be back. Thanks for this, Coach.
Anytime. You love it. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Okay, that was way too long of a gap, Chapman. That was, like, we were sitting here with our hands up wondering whether we were supposed to talk or wait.
Well,
and we waited. Give us credit. Give us credit for being disciplined.
You
but
know
we
when
weren't
to
sure.
Talk. You know that there's always going to be music and there's going to be Mike telling you that we're back, and that's when you talk.
Well, Brian McCormack, who joins us now, voice of the Silver Knights here at the Dollar Loan Center, on location with the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, as the Vegas Nighthawks going to do an open practice. He was sitting here going, why aren't you talking? Like, he flipped his mic up, took his headset off, and said, aren't you supposed to be going?
I'm guessing that did not happen.
Chris, I almost talked. I almost took charge of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen, you being a New York guy, you should appreciate the theme from the Warriors.
That has nothing to do with the gap.
Yeah, I should, but I don't.
Oh, well.
The Warriors.
Just shut it down.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great – listen, because –
it was a great show. Great show.
It was a movie, not a show.
Well, movie show. We called it a show in Canada.
Great musical.
You going to the show? Hey, congratulations to Faith Lutheran. Opened the USA Hockey Nationals with a 4-0 win today over Northwest Arkansas, the Ice Hogs.
Yeah, I saw a note from Nate Ewell in our group chat that they're going to be playing East Islip next, which is on Long Island. Mm-hmm. Gordon Weigers, fellow Long Islanders, said something bad about East Islip. And I remember when I was playing hockey on Long Island, high school hockey on Long Island, I don't remember East Islip winning 3 games in the 4 years that I was in school. So clearly that program's come a long way.
So we should beat them tomorrow for sure.
Well, I would
say we, like Faith Lutheran. I've attached my wagon to them.
I'm giving you a scouting report since 2007, so yeah. Things could have – they haven't kept tabs with me.
I thought they were Islip, so Islip is good.
That's the insider. I'm here with the information.
You've got some MC duties happening today. You're going to walk through some Chalk Talk. You a football guy?
Yeah, I'm a long-suffering Jet fan. Me and Chapman talk about it off the air regularly. Good week for that, though. I'll talk with Chapman about that later. But
no, we can talk about it now.
I know you guys just had Mike on, and Mike's the best. Mike's just so inviting. Like there are no bad questions to Mike Davis. He's willing to talk about anything and everything. So he's going to go through an open practice for the fans as they're walking around the arena, finding the seats that they want. He'll be explaining what the players are doing, and then afterwards, around, I think 6:10, 6:15 or so. For those who are here, we're going to do a sit-down, talk for 15, 20 minutes, probably get a couple of questions from the audience as well, and just get a feel for what the expectations are for the group this year, which, as Mike Davis, I think, told you guys, the expectation always has to be championship first and foremost.
Did you play football growing up?
I did not. I was interested in it. Parents said I wasn't allowed. It was too dangerous. Dad, playing high school football in 1970-something, broke his nose and his tailbone, so that was too dangerous. So I was allowed to play hockey instead. I've often thought to myself, though, what would I – I'd had to talk to Jeff Conkle. He's one of the strength coaches for the Golden Knights. We were talking about this just randomly. As like growing up, I thought, oh, well, like, I didn't throw very well, so I probably wouldn't have been good at that. But I'd be a wide receiver or something, maybe a tight end. And then you look now, and all the tight ends are 6'8". I'm not. All the wide receivers are throwing a running a 4.240. I'm not. So Jeff looked at it and was like, honestly, Brian, I think you'd probably be a right guard. I was like I'd have to put on like how much weight to do that. He's like, right now probably about 25. So
if we played,
I'm glad I didn't.
If we played a staff game, which position would you want to play?
Whatever you want me to do. I think right now, I think blocking is probably my best skill. Brian, just go.
Is there blocking in staff football?
Well, it depends who's in charge of writing the rule book. I just
how,
know
how much do you want to win?
When I played hockey as a Stonehand defenseman, like I say this all the time. I can't create anything, but I can get in the way. Mm. So same thing goes to football. If you need someone to make a play, it's not going to be me. But Brian, go get in the way. Like, yes, sir. I'm your man.
Is it weird because the Silver Knights play at the Dollar Loan Center? Is it kind of strange walking in here and seeing the turf down?
It was the first time. Yeah. Again, we're going on season three now. So yeah. The first time it was strange, a little bit of a shock. But, you know, it's also it's kind of neat now. Again, the Silver Knights having a bit of a rough go of it right now in terms of the standings. They've got some work to do if they want to play playoff hockey. But the one thing that is cool is when you see the turf down, it's one of those reminders of what time of year it is. Mm-hmm. And that playoff hockey is coming and that high-stakes hockey is coming. And, of course, the Nighthawks football games are a ton of fun, and that's fast action, fast pace. So initially it was strange. Now I've gotten accustomed to it. I've seen enough games in here for the Nighthawks that it's just a reminder that it's a really fun time of year kicking off.
You guys are in Milwaukee this weekend, and then you're home for a stretch. So a chance to make some hay.
Yeah, it's Milwaukee this weekend. Milwaukee, who won 19 in a row, going back a couple of weeks, and since then,
so they're due for a bad stretch.
They're in a bad stretch now. They're 2-8 in their last 10. Which
totally.
The analogy I always use, and if anyone listened to the HSK Today show, sorry you're hearing this for a fourth time, but it's for teams that are going that well. I compare it to Looney Tunes. Okay, when Wile E. Coyote runs off the cliff. As long as he keeps running, he's totally fine. It's when he looks down that gravity takes over and he plummets. So any team that's winning 18, 19 in a row, enjoy it. I mean, Edmonton went through this too. They won it was 17 in a row. Mm. As soon as reality sets in again, you're going to have, again, you don't have to lose 90% of the next month. But when you come back to reality a little bit, you're probably going to be hit with reality for a couple of weeks. And Milwaukee's going through that now.
It's a great reminder to all of us. Don't overachieve.
And don't look down.
Just keep it even keel or slightly below expectations. With the hope that you can reach that, but never overachieve.
But then after that, to your point, the 7 of the last 9 will be in this building for the Silver Knights. So again, they've got a lot of work to do right now. They're 12 points out with 11 games to go, so it's going to be a tough hill to climb. But if you got a tough hill to climb, you want to spend most of that time in your own building, and they'll have that benefit.
Got to get it going.
You know, I was here while you were doing HSK today. You were talking a little bit about Brendan Brisson and Caden Korzak, the growth in their game and in their call-ups and how they've established that now in the American Hockey League. Can you speak to just the growth from them that you've seen?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that is next in the growth for Brendan Brisson, and it's for any young player, is to get stronger. And I think usually you learn that unless you're a 6'7" defenseman from Medicine Hat, you show up strong. But for the other ones, you know, I always heard there's a difference between weight room strength and man strength. Mm. You throw the weights around, and then you get on the ice, and you realize you have to push bodies around, and it's a different expectation. So I'm sure one of the things for Brendan Brisson is going to be, okay, learn the game, learn positioning, learn your responsibilities, and then just get stronger and be ready to compete against guys of that ilk. I think Korzak showed that this year, that he has that bit of maturation. It's not just mental maturation, it's physical maturation. And since he's come back, you know, it's difficult too with a numbers game. He was having a really good season with the VGK. Numbers game. He's back with Henderson again, and a rough go for Henderson, so you want him to maintain that fire and that edge. But he has many nights look like an NHLer playing in the AHL, and that's what you want to see. You don't want someone to come back and water find its level and it's a lower level. So many nights he looks like a man playing amongst prospects, and that's what you want. And for Brisson this past weekend, he's been back for 2 games. He has 5 points. Sunday was a rough outing on the scoreboard for the Silver Knights. There wasn't a lot of silver linings to come out of it, but one of them was 2 goals and assists for Brisson. And to me, one of the things you notice each time he's come back, he's looked sharper. And it's not necessarily in terms of speed and strength. It's decisiveness. Mm. And the 2 goals he scored, pucks on a stick, off his stick. There's no dusting it off. There's no looping back. There's no indecision. It's quick reaction and efficiency. And what we talked about on the show today was, you know, you go to a practice, an open practice, when the drills are over and you see players working out by themselves and working on skills, so much of the skill work, they're not dangling through tires, they're not doing Harlem Globetrotter stuff. It's literally small areas, taking a pass out of your skate and getting a shot off, doing things without that extra stick.
Like you on Wednesday nights at backhand, National Arena.
Backhand only, right? Yeah. Just to make it fair. Yeah. But it's just that efficiency training, receiving passes without an extra stick handle, moving the puck without an extra stride. What can you do while doing less and getting better results? And the last couple of games, Brendan Brisson is just sharper in those areas.
We got a flat. Do you really talk to Chapman, though, off air?
When he chases me down the hallway, yeah.
Okay. I figured we can get in the way of that. We can block his number.
We can't block him from doing anything.
Usually me and Chapman will have these conversations in the press conference room after VGK games when I'm over there. And you're not usually there, Darren. I haven't seen you much in those press conferences. Of course, you're on the desk. You're working. But I really thought what it
except was. Except for when you're filling in for me because I'm not working.
Of course. Well, the last time I saw you in that press conference room, again, I assume you're still doing the post-game show and you're working. But the last time we were in that room at the same time was when I fell out of a chair in the middle of an interview. And I thought you just didn't come back because of the pure shame of it all. So... No one told me that the folding chairs go up when you stand up.
I know. I learned that the hard way, and that's why I laugh so much when it happened to you. There's Brian McCormick, voice of the Henderson Silver Knights. He'll be down here at the Dollar Loan Center for MC a little talk with Coach Mike Davis. We'll be back with more on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
It's time for the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show.
If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or go to samandashlaw.com. It's Legal Minute with Ashley Watkins. Ash joining us now. Hey, Ash, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to this one because we've got some interesting topics, some fun topics to get into here. You know, you talked about it. One of the biggest developments coming out of the GM meetings has really nothing to do with what's going to happen on the ice, and it's the idea, and Chris Johnston reported it, that the NHL has reached an agreement with Amazon for a behind-the-scenes type of series that's going to follow 10 to 12 NHL superstars. You know, I guess kind of the big question here is, how does a deal like this get brokered, right? Because you've got the individual athletes, you've got individual teams, you've got the NHL as a whole, and then obviously Amazon. Like, how do you come to some type of agreement in a deal like this?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, definitely. I'm excited about it. I think it'll, you know, it humanizes the sport a little. So, but first and foremost, what makes this and these types of documentaries interesting is the access, the behind-the-scenes footage. So the teams in the league will have to, you know, agree to give that level of access to Amazon. But then when it comes to the players, you know, players aren't obligated to participate, but they will have to incentivize them to do it. And usually that's with money. And also they'll give them some level of creative control or veto power at the end of the day so that they're confident that their Amazon's not portraying them in a terrible light.
So from a control perspective, like, what do you expect that to look like for a player?
Well, they're going to have to, a player's going to evaluate specific days where they're going to let the cameras. Are they going to let them in their home? Are they going to let them in the locker room? Are they going to let them in the car when they're going to and from games? Things or practice even. So that's what a player is going to make a decision on their own of what level of access am I comfortable with. We've seen this with, I guess the better analogy is the Formula One documentary. That's the one where Formula One gave all behind the scenes access to Netflix, and you know the player or the drivers agreed to participate and give interviews, and the teams individually gave specific races their access. And so I think that's what you'll start to see here with Amazon. Specific teams will give more access on certain days, and then there will be specific players, the 12 that, you know, end up doing it, they're going to give a higher level of access. But I think it'll be a little tailored to each player's needs and wants.
Who do you want to see followed around, right? Like, that's the big question.
I think Marc-Andre Fleury, because he's just, you know, he's so funny and he does all his pranks. So that would be fun. And then, of course, some of the younger, you know, Connor Bedard, that'd be fascinating to see the rookie season of what it's like being a rookie in a league and succeeding and doing well and coming back from a large injury in this season would have been interesting. But then also you want to get some of the veterans like a Sidney Crosby or anyone, I don't know, like a Mark Stone. Come on, that guy's got to be great behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think any more exposure you can have for Sidney Crosby, the better. Like, I'm with you on that one. I just think that he's kind of a fascinating guy in and of himself. So that's really kind of the big one is you know, you got to get the right personalities, and that's going to be on Amazon and obviously the NHL to deliver a product that's going to hit there. So let's pivot from that topic and get into this one, because I it's one that's near and dear to me. Ryan Whitney threatens to sue the Vegas Golden Knights. So if you didn't follow along, this is kind of how it all came about. After the trade deadline, and Kelly McCrimmon goes about his business at the trade deadline, trading for Noah Hanifin and Anthony Mantha and Tomas Hertl, Ryan Whitney released a video where he essentially lamented the Vegas Golden Knights, how much he disliked the Vegas Golden Knights and how frustrated he was that Vegas went out and, you know, did what they did at the trade deadline. The Golden Knights social team, they were able to kind of put together that video in their game Sunday. I don't want to say mockery. That's not necessarily what it was, but it was for entertainment value, which I believe is what Ryan Whitney's original intention was with his post as well. They threw it out on their socials, and Ryan Whitney at that point quoted it and said, "I'm going to sue." What is there any grounds that Ryan Whitney could do that?
No way. I'm not seeing a true lawsuit. It's just a good play going back and forth between some entertainment. Ryan Whitney's got his own social media platform and podcast, and the Golden Knights love that content, that banter, that attention. And so, look, I think it was just all playful. The Golden Knights aren't making money off of Ryan Whitney's content. They're just using it for fun. And also, look, if you put it out into the social media ether, it's there, and be prepared for other people to use it however they want. So I liked it. I love it. I think some of the social teams and the behind the scenes production teams in hockey are some of the best around.
So if you have a question about social media, or if you have a question about, you know, some issue that you may have found yourself in the middle of, if someone needs a consultation with you, how do they get in touch with Sam and Ash Law?
Yeah, 702-820-1234 or samandashlaw.com. We're available 24/7. Bring us your questions. We're happy to help. Even if it's not a case, you just have some legal issue, need guidance, we're here.
All right, great stuff as always, Ash. Thanks for jumping on here and doing this. I appreciate it. And I think we'll dig a little bit deeper into which players we'd love to see when we reconvene next week.
Yeah, I want to know who yours are. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next week, I'm ready.
Absolutely. That is Ashley Watkins with samandashlaw.com. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash at 702-820-1234 or go to samandashlaw.com. We're back with hour number two of the VGK Insider Show next.
This has been the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show, brought to you by Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right.